welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Now this morning, I'm going to ask Kirsty to come up and she's going to bring a word to start with. As you know, we're going through Matthew's Gospel. Surprise, surprise, we're doing that each week in our groups. And this week, we're actually going through Matthew chapter 18. And there's a couple of things in that chapter that I want us to look at this morning, and then there's something else that God's really placed on my heart to speak about, which will no doubt connect the whole thing together. So let's give Kirsty a warm welcome as she comes up and brings God's word to us.
Going to Matthew 18:11. Okay. So I think the thing is, when I got the text, I scrabbled to my Bible because he texted me to say, this one's got your name written all over it. So I was really looking forward to finding out what I was going to have to say. So imagine my horror when I turned to the Bible and I realized it was the parable that when I was a child most vexed me. So, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So when I was a child and I used to sit in church and listen to this parable, the reason that it vexed me was I used to think of this shepherd and his sheep who left his 99 sheep and went to go after the other one. And I used to think this was the height of irresponsibility. 99 sheep, and he's leaving them for one. What are the other 99 going to do? What if he loses the 99 and ends up with none? So I thought about this yesterday. I thought, well, how does he have the faith to leave the 99 sheep and to go after the one? And it came to me that he doesn't leave 99 sheep, he leaves a flock. Like, a flock is a word for, it's, oh well, I'm an English teacher, so here we go. It's a collective noun. It's not the name for 99 sheep, it is the name for the sheep as they move together. And there is unity in the sheep. And that's the reason he can leave the sheep, because there's unity and they look after each other. So he goes to the mountains to seek the one who is straying. And he can do this, what it is for us as a church, that there has to be unity in order to be able to stretch out to the ones who are straying. And I know over the recent weeks, when we've been stretching out to those who are straying, it has come out of unity. So, you know, the Lord doesn't just want us to go to, he doesn't just want us to go to Costa Coffee to search for the ones that are straying. He wants us to go to the mountains. And if you're going to go to the mountains, you have to have the strength of the rest of your flock behind you. So the other bit I was thinking about, what does it mean to go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Well, you know, the mountains are a high place, so we have to get higher with God. To seek the ones that are straying, we have to press in, we have to pray, we have to intercede, we have to be in a high place with God. And then on a practical level, I think what I was thinking about was we have to be in position. In order to be able to save those that are straying, we have to already be there. I was thinking about my own salvation and this might, you know, with the people that are being baptized. God, in order to bring me to the point of salvation, God kicked all my crutches away. He went through my life like wildfire, actually, and removed almost everything to bring me to a point where I could be saved. And we as a church need to be in a position so that God can move. We already need to have relationships with people before they are saved. So we need to stretch out to the people around us. I was thinking about my job, and there are none of us who are in a job that is not God appointed. There are none of us that do not have a house that God didn't give to us. So where we are right now, we are in exactly the place that God wants us to be. So look round and look at the people around you. Look at your neighbours, look at your children's friends, look at the people that you come into contact with at work, and start building those relationships with them. You can't take someone to Costa Coffee to get them saved. But what you can do is build real relationships with people in order so that when God moves, and God will move, because we are, you know, we are rivers of running water, and everybody that we get come into contact with in our daily lives will be touched in some way by God. So what we need to do is we need to build those relationships in the first place so that when God does move to save, those people can come to us because they already know us. They can accept our help because they already trust us, so that we can go to the mountains to help them. I think that's all I wanted to say.
Because there's people that God wants you to reach. There's a lost one. There's someone in your workplace. There's perhaps it's a neighbour. Maybe it's a relative. But God wants that person to be saved. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that this morning and bring you encouragement, because he wants to use you to win that person, those people. And just say, Lord, here I am. I'm available, Lord. Use me. Just quietly say it to the Lord. Open your heart, your spirit up to God. I'm available, Lord. Just for one person. That's all it takes, just for one person. The Holy Spirit's going to put that person on your heart this morning if he hasn't already done so. Build relationship. Cover it with prayer. Keep praying. And ask that Jesus will make himself real through your relationship to that person. And he'll do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you this morning. You are speaking to us this morning. There's people, Lord, waiting to be saved. There's lost sheep. People who have actually gone away from you as well, Lord, not, as well as people who don't know you yet, Lord. We pray, Lord, cause us to go after them up that mountain, Lord, to seek your face, to pray, and then to go and rescue them, Lord, in your name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are like a river that wants to flow through us. So, Lord, today we say, Lord, release your river in me and through me. Can you just pray that? Say, Lord, release your river. The river of your spirit, of your love, of your life, through me, in Jesus' name. That was excellent. Thank you, Kirsty, for that. That was so good. Let's just continue just for a few more minutes in Matthew 18. There's another thing that God wants. So I've entitled this morning, I think the title was, The Kingdom River Flowing Through You, or something like that. It's about the Kingdom River, the river of God's kingdom flowing through us. And God wants his kingdom to flow not just inside of us, but out of us. Amen? He wants his river to flow out of us. What Kirsty's talking about this morning, what the Word of God is talking about, is that the river of the Holy Spirit's presence, the presence of Jesus living on the inside of us, is no good just keeping it inside. But when you start releasing it, it will start making a difference all around you.
Amen. And a lot of Christians get hung up on themselves, and I understand the reasons for that. But what we need to be is be caught up with who Jesus Christ is. He'll deal with the issues and the problems, I assure you of that. He will deal with every single one of them in his way as we give ourselves to him. So don't focus on yourself. That's a bad mistake that we often make. But focus upon who Jesus is. We heard a great message last week about Jesus revealing the kingdom in you. Well, the kingdom is actually the king. It's Jesus Christ living inside of you. And so focus on who he is and who he is in you. And that will help you. That really will help you. And will set you free. And what God wants to do, he wants to get our focus on him so that his river will begin to flow out. His river will begin to flow out of us. And when I woke up this morning, I don't wake up every day with God speaking words, but he spoke these words very clearly to me this morning. He says, release the river. So I began to say to him, not presuming I knew what that meant, because when God says things, it isn't necessarily what we think. So I said, Lord, please show me what you mean by that. He said, release the river. So I said, Lord, you release the river. He said, no, you release the river. Oh, I like that. So I was praying, Lord, you release the river of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And he said, no, I said, you're to release the river because I've already given you my Spirit. My Spirit's already living in you. It's your responsibility to release the river of the Holy Spirit out of your innermost being through the Holy Spirit's help, of course, through depending on him. But he said, you release the river. So this morning, I see in this church, there's some people that aren't here, but I see in us as a church that God wants to release, first of all, rivers inside of each one of us. There's a river. Amen. That's where the Holy Spirit is living. And he wants to release that river through you. Now, you can fast and pray as long as you like and get very thin, and nothing will happen if you're just asking God to release the river. That's only the first half. The second half is that you've got to release that river.
Yes.
You have to do something. You have to speak something. You have to pray something. You have to sing something. You have to obey what God says to release the river. You know, no. Generally, I haven't seen people get saved by not talking to them. I've seen them get saved by talking to them and by building a relationship with them. And so the river, and that's exactly what this is about, is that the river of the Spirit then bridges that gap between me and that person. And as I get to know them, the Holy Spirit, the life of Jesus, actually flows out of me into that person's life. And they then begin to grasp who Jesus Christ really is. And it comes through that bridge of a relationship, a friendship, building something with that person. That's how Jesus operated a lot of the time. He actually made a lot of friends, as well as enemies. But he made a lot of friends, and they got drawn into the kingdom because he was releasing the river. What about you this morning? Ask yourself the question, am I releasing the river of what God's put inside of me? What's hindering you? And find out what the hindrance is so that we can remove the hindrance. God wants to remove the hindrances, stopping the river from being released, the river of his Spirit, you understand? Yeah. The river of his presence coming through. Now let's look at... we could stop just right there, but I just feel we should just look at this as well. Verse 21 of Matthew 18... So there is some, if you like, some homework to do for us, those of you that hate the word homework. There is some work to do outside of just this morning to take away with us this week, to put this into practice, to pray over what you hear this morning so that you actually start releasing what God is saying. But it says here, verse 21, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That isn't literally 490 times. So when someone sinned against you, you say, well, actually, that was 491, so I'm not going to forgive you today. No, he's saying what Jesus meant by that was you're to forgive and to forgive and to forgive again and to go on forgiving. You're to walk in forgiveness towards people who sin against you, who wrong you. You're to have the Spirit of forgiveness flowing through you like a river. Jesus said to him, I don't say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That was a lot. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Wow, that's a heavy one. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Remember, we're talking about forgiveness this morning. Then the master of the servant was, listen to this, moved with compassion. Make a note of that. The master of the servant was moved with compassion. He released him, that's the second thing. And the third thing is, and he forgave him the debt. Three things. Compassion, he was moved with compassion, moved with the love of God. He released him from the debt, and he forgave him. Those three things equals forgiveness. You can't forgive someone without compassion. You can't forgive someone without releasing them. And you can't forgive someone without forgiving them. Without saying, I forgive you. In Jesus' name. And I'm just going to share this for the sake of anyone who hasn't heard this before. But some years ago, before I got married, there was a particular person that had really was offending me and upsetting me. And I began to get really angry inside with this person. And I knew it was wrong. I shouldn't be like this. I had a bad attitude, and I had good reason for it, I thought. But I was actually very unforgiving towards him. And then one day God challenged me about this and said, you can't carry on like this. And I said, I know I can't. And so I began to pray. I said, Lord, I need you to help me. And he just showed me a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. I saw him very clearly there hanging on the cross. He said, I did this for you. And then he asked me this question. He said, have I forgiven you all of your sins? And of course I had to say, yeah, I've been forgiven everything that I've done wrong. I've been cleansed, I've been forgiven, I've been washed. And he said, if I've forgiven you everything that you've done wrong, right up to today, which was the case, he said, then you can forgive this person with my forgiveness. He made it so easy for me. Because when I realised again the compassion and the mercy that Jesus had on me by dying on the cross for me and forgiving me, that in that moment I could forgive this person. I felt compassion for the person because as I was praying for them, I began to see them as God saw them, and I released them right there and then, and I prayed with my mouth, with voice, Lord, I forgive so-and-so for what he's done, what he's said, and the way he's behaved. I forgive him right now with your forgiveness at the cross. The same forgiveness that you've forgiven me, I release it like a river in Jesus' name. It was that easy. And something broke right there in me. And I was released from that unforgiveness, which can become a bitter root. A root of bitterness will get in there if you don't forgive people quickly. But the Lord will enable us to do it. So everything God asks us to do, he'll enable us to do, right? Okay? Everything he asks us to do, he will enable us to do. So we can forgive in the name of Jesus with his forgiveness. And so I felt and had compassion, which God will release to you if you need to have compassion on someone. You release them. That's a decision you make. You actually let them go of that debt, if you like. That's in between the two of you. Whatever it was, whatever it is. And then you actually forgive them with his forgiveness. And you release it in Jesus' name. And then, after that, you walk in forgiveness. So every time a thought comes, you capture the thought and you say, no, I've forgiven them. Every time a thought comes, you know, I've forgiven them. And I continue to walk in forgiveness towards them. And you pray a blessing over that person. That's it. It's because as far as Jesus is concerned, it's done. It's washed away by the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness is a big issue before we got saved. And it's also, for many of us as Christians, it's an issue that will... can be an issue after we get saved, after we become Christians as well, because God wants to make sure that our hearts are cleansed of all unforgiveness in our hearts. God's very interested in our hearts, isn't he? And what he's saying today, he's saying, I also want a river to flow out of you. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit this morning, flowing out of you in forgiveness to others around you. Perhaps forgiving someone in the past, in the distant past, that you've never been able to, you can forgive them. You can forgive them in the name of Jesus. Release that forgiveness of the Lord over their life and be set free yourself. And I'll tell you what, just tell you quickly what happened. What happened for me, when I prayed that prayer, I got set free. I really did. I knew I had forgiveness. And the person that had sinned against me, had done some wrongs against me, came to me. I can't remember if it was that day or the day after, but came to me. And this had been going on for a long time, and asked if he could come and see me. He came and saw me. He said, "I've just come to you because I really feel I need to say I'm sorry. Please forgive me." Isn't that powerful? Amen. Forgive me for the way I've been treating you. Some of the stuff I've done has been really wrong. Forgive me. And the Lord reminded me, he said, the moment you forgave him, I released something to him as well. Amen. And he's responded. Because he was a Christian, he understood about the principle of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very powerful thing. And we need to be walking in forgiveness all the time. Because it's not just about the big issues that we need to forgive people. We need to be walking in forgiveness is forgiving people the little things. The things they didn't really mean to say. Or it came out slightly wrong. Or something happened that offended me. We've got to deal with that with forgiveness. God's given us the gift of forgiveness. Look back at the cross. If you've got a problem with forgiveness, just spend some time meditating on the cross. Read the end of Matthew's Gospel or one of the end of the Gospels and just spend some time reading about what Jesus has done for you. That's what we're remembering today about the whole thing with baptism. It's Jesus died for me. Jesus took my sins. Jesus took me at the cross. Jesus buried me and buried my old life there. He has forgiven me totally and completely. I'm a brand new person. My past is completely gone. It can't be seen. God doesn't see it any longer. It's washed away by his blood. I'm a brand new person. I'm celebrating life. I'm excited. I'm living forever. God's got a great plan, you know. And God wants us to be people who are living in that kind of victory where the Holy Spirit is flowing through our lives. And we can live. This is the victory of Jesus that he's made available to us in the Holy Spirit. If we go on and just read, just finish this off. It says, the master of the servant, verse 27, was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him his debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you begged me. Should you not also have just had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Amen. Or his sins. So that's kind of a great motive for us to forgive, I think. Amen. I don't want to end up in verse 35. I want to be back in verse 27 where I'm being moved with God's compassion. I'm releasing people from anything that they've done to me and I forgive them the debt. Isn't that how you want to be? The Lord has made it very simple, and he says, release the river. This is the message this morning. Release the river of his spirit that is in you. And God is one he's dealing with, I know, quite a number of us in our hearts, all of us in many ways, in our hearts, because he wants our hearts to be a free, for his river to flow through our hearts in a very, very powerful way. So release forgiveness to people this morning. Let's just pray together just for a couple of minutes. Just bow your heads and just close your eyes and just be still before the presence of the Lord again. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. And we thank you, Lord, that you want us, ourselves, to be released from any unforgiveness this morning. Perhaps, Lord, we need to be forgiven ourselves. Holy Spirit, come, Lord. And cause us to humble ourselves before you and ask you for forgiveness ourselves, Lord. Where the sin of pride and other things get in the way. Where we judge people and we criticize people and we put people down in the wrong way. Where we get easily offended, Lord. Father, I pray this morning you will forgive, Lord, any unforgiveness that we harbor in our hearts, Lord. Cleanse our hearts, Lord. Cleanse every heart in this place today by your blood. Cause us to ask you, Lord, to come and cleanse each of our hearts so that we don't hold or harbour anything in there that would be unforgiveness towards others. Lord, how dare we do that when you've forgiven us everything that we did against you, Lord, you've forgiven us already. Holy Spirit, this morning I pray, Lord, Help us to deal with those things today. Lord, let there be a release of compassion. Help us to release people, Lord, through a prayer, through praying, Lord, for them. And then to forgive them in your name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I release the river of forgiveness. Amen. Just say that some more. I release the river of forgiveness today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, some of you may need to go away a little bit more and just pray a little bit more on that. So it's not just a quick fix, but you make sure that you really have forgiven people, things to do with what's happened before. But you can do it. We just shared together the Holy Spirit saying, release the river. That's your responsibility. My Spirit is here. I'm living in you. I'm the forgiving one. Just release it now. Release it to the person. And by the way, you don't, you know, sometimes people offend you. You don't have to go and tell them about that. Sometimes you just need to forgive them. In fact, most of the time, you don't have to tell people about everything you thought about them. It won't help them. It won't encourage them. If there's something that's offended you, just deal with it before God. If you've said something or done something to someone that they know about, then you need to go to them and ask them for forgiveness as well. But if there's things that just offended you, don't make it worse by going telling them, oh, by the way, I thought this about you and I said this about you and I wrote down this about you. It's not needed. Just forgive them. Just release that spirit of forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Now, just come with me. I want us to go to the book of Ezekiel for a few more minutes. And Ezekiel chapter 47 in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 47. And this is what we call a prophetic scripture. It's prophetic in the fact that it's actually talking about something that is going to happen out there in Jerusalem with the temple. But it's prophetic about God, what God wants to do with us. So let's just read it through and explain what this means for us this morning about God releasing the river of his Spirit through us. Chapter 47, verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. If you're confused, don't worry. Just get the picture. The river is running out of the temple under the door, the threshold of the temple. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. So if you've got the picture, the temple is, if you like, reasonably high up. There's water flowing out of this temple. There's a river flowing out of this temple. And this guy measures 1,000 cubits. Let's say it's a 1,000 yards or 1,000 meters. And as he walks along this river, it gets up to its ankle deep, and it's flowing. Again, he measured 1,000, a further 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and the water now came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and it came up to my waist. So we're talking about a river that's getting deeper as he goes out. It's getting deeper as he goes. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And God began to speak to me. I've only just begun to touch this afresh this morning. It's a scripture I haven't looked in for a long time. And he says in verse 6, he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" I want you to have a picture this morning of a river. Because in the Bible, there's a lot of talk about rivers. In the book of Revelation, it talks about a river running like crystal clear in heaven. In the Psalms, it talks about a river. The river of God is full. And this is the same river. The river represents the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the life of God. That's what the river is. It's full of life. It's full of him. And God wants us to be like this river. Now, in the Bible, the temple represents you and me. So our body is the temple. It says in the scripture, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's a temple of the river. But the river's got to come out. God doesn't want the river staying in the temple. He wants the river to flow out of the temple, you, out of your life. The Bible says that the church, that God's people, we're like a temple together. We're being built together like a temple. Each one of us is like a stone, corporately. Kirsty spoke about that, about unity. And we are a church, we are a temple together, people together, relationships that's to do with, of love and unity. And God says, as a temple together, I want my river, the river of my spirit, to corporately, if you like, flow through you, flow through all of you, and flow out of this church to make a difference in Crawley, in East Grinstead, in Horsham, in wherever we go, he wants the river to flow out of us. Because we're a church together. Does that make sense? These are kind of the pictures that are in the Bible to help us understand that the Holy Spirit is vast. The Holy Spirit is enormous. I mean, he's beyond comprehension. The Holy Spirit of God. And one of the pictures about the Holy Spirit is he is like a river. Jesus said, he who believes in me will have inside of him like a spring or a river of living waters that will begin to well up from within his belly. In other words, deep within your spirit, in your heart, there's a river that God is wanting to fill you up with so it begins to overflow. The whole point of it was that the river wouldn't just water you, wouldn't just bless you, but the river would actually flow out of you. And the Lord is looking in this generation, he's looking in this decade for the church to begin to see that the river is all about who he is in us and flowing through us out to a lost world. God does not want to be disappointed with his church. God wants to be pleased with his church. And my prayer is that in this, and I'm sure yours is the same, that God in this decade, at this time, cause your church to come out of selfishness, out of living for themselves, and living in this sense of, we're just living for you, Jesus. We're just living for you. We want your river to flow through us. We're here to serve the King of Kings. We want your kingdom river to flow through our lives. It's not about us. It's all about what you want to do in our nation and in the nations of the world. Father, make the church, your people, Christians, flow in your river. Well, it is a great picture of it in Ezekiel. And, you know, sometimes we can be satisfied with ankle-deep Christianity and have a good old splash and think that was it. Sometimes we can get up to knee-deep and think, well, this is quite good, actually. This is good. It's better than ankle-deep. And we settle for something less than what God really wanted. Sometimes we can get up to waist-deep. Oh, this is really good. This is very, very good. I've not been in this way before. This is waist-deep water. Wow, there's a real depth here. But God says, no, I'm just leading you up, but I want you to come into the river where it says that the river actually was so deep that you couldn't cross it. It's over your head. It's beyond your comprehension. It's beyond your ability to understand. That's me. That's where I want you to be living. And I have to confess to you, I'm not living there yet. I've tasted it. I've tasted some of it, but I'm not living daily in that place where it's over my head. But God's saying, that's where I want you to be living, where the river is over your head. In other words, you're living out of your depth. Amen. In God's love, in God's power, and in God's grace. And it's all possible, because we read about in the New Testament, the book of Acts, when God poured his river out, the Holy Spirit came on the early Christians, and they were living out of their depth. Amen. You look really excited about that this morning. Living out of their depth. And God says, that's exactly what I've got for you. Whether you feel like it, whether you're tired this morning, God's got a river, the river of the Spirit. He wants to take you out of your depth. He wants to take us as a church out of our depth, where no longer are we in control, but he is very much in control. Amen. And we're living in a place of position and a place of faith that God's called us to release his river. What's in the river? Well, in the river is his love. In the river is his power. In the river is his miracles, his healings, his deliverances. In his river is everything that we need personally, but in his river is everything that's needed for a lost world. Amen. In his river is everything to set people free. Because the kingdom river of God has been given to us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we don't just receive the love of Jesus. Oh, that's wonderful. I feel so good now. I've been forgiven. I'm going to heaven when I die. And no, we're living for a purpose. We're living for a cause. We're living for the cause of his kingdom, because we haven't got long before he comes back. We haven't got long, actually, before the whole world is going to end. We're living in the last days, the Bible says. And in a short space of time, lots of things will happen in the European Union, out there in the Middle East. It's all getting ready to fire off again. And God says, in this window of opportunity, He's speaking to the church. I want my river to flow in the church and flow out of the church. I want you to be out of your depth. So release the river. Amen. God's saying, release the river. The river of my spirit in your own life. Release the river. How do you do that? Well, the only way I know to do it is to be in faith in God and begin to pray, begin to cry out to him, begin to say, Lord, I can't do anything without you. Begin to be dependent upon him. Get on my face, kneel down, stand up, dance, whatever, but give yourself totally to God and then start doing what God's called you to do. Amen. Step out. Amen. And, you know, the Lord is saying this is time to let the river, it's not about us doing more in our own strength, but about us doing what we do in God's strength and letting his river, the river of his spirit, flow. Yes. This is Karen reading just a couple more verses and we will pray together. He said, this river I couldn't cross, the water was too deep, water in which one was, must swim, a river couldn't be crossed. He said to me, son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Its waters are healed. When the river reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. So this is a supernatural river it's talking about. There will be a very great multitude of fish. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. There will be a very great multitude of fish. People becoming Christians, being saved. Because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. I tell you, it's a great scripture. If you want to be inspired about where God wants to take you and take the church, read Ezekiel 47, because it's prophetically, it's a word for the church right now, today. Amen. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En Gedi, that's a place, to En Eglaim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. In other words, there's a lot of fish to catch. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. He wants to get us out of ourselves and into the river. Amen. Now, I don't know where you are this morning. Perhaps you're not even in the river. God, if you don't know Jesus this morning, let me tell you, he's here. And he wants you to meet with him. And I want you to come up afterwards. If you want to know more about him, come and talk to me or talk to someone that perhaps you came with today. And let them explain to you how it's ever so easy. We just need to repent of our sins, of the things we've done wrong, recognise we can't live life without Jesus, and that he died for us on the cross, and he rose again from the dead, and he's alive today, and wants to give you the gift. That's the whole point why Jesus came. He came to give us the gift of his life, of his kingdom. And if we will repent and turn to him and believe upon him, he'll come in an instant. He'll come and forgive us our sins, the things that block us in our relationship with God, wash us afresh and make us brand new. Or if we're already believers, we're coming back to him today, he'll do the same thing. He'll restore you back to being a son of God, a child of God again. He wants to wash us and cleanse us. And the reason Jesus came was actually so that we could not just be forgiven of our sins, but he came so that we could receive a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of his power, the gift of his love. That's for you, that's for me today. And he says, release, I want to release my river that I've placed within you. So you've got to release that river through speaking the word of God, through doing something with what God's already given to you. Does that make sense? Make sense?
Amen.
You know, sometimes if I get up in the morning, I don't feel like singing, I'll sing. Why? Because if I don't sing, I won't release the river. But if I start to sing and honour Jesus, Amen. Despite how I may feel, as I begin to sing, I start releasing the river.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I don't know quite how to pray, so I'll start praying in tongues, in that other language that God's given, that heavenly language. And as I start to release the speaking in tongues, in the other, it releases the river. That's the whole purpose. That's why God's given every Christian the ability, the gift of speaking in tongues, so that we can actually build ourselves up, so the river of God can begin to flow up on the inside of us, and it will transform your life if you do it. If you don't, it won't. But if you do, it will transform the way you think. It will transform the way you believe. It will transform everything about you when you start praying in tongues. This gift of the Holy Spirit isn't just for a select few. It's for everybody.
Amen.
because God gave it to enable us to pray in the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit wants to be a river. He is a river in you this morning. And he's saying this morning, I release the river.
Amen.
Release the river of my presence. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Just, we thank you that you're here this morning, Lord. We pray, Father, right now, as we stand in your presence, we've heard you speak to us today, Lord, and you're saying, release the river of my Spirit. Just thank God this morning. If you're born again, if you know the Lord Jesus, just thank him this morning for the Spirit of Jesus living in. Just thank him this morning for the precious gift of that river that he's placed into your heart this morning. Thank him for the river of life, the most precious gift that the world doesn't know anything about, yet we've got his love and his life living inside of us today. Just thank Jesus this morning for the river of the Spirit of God. And just make a decision today, Lord, I want to release, I'm going to release the river of your love, of your life, in a new way from today forward. Because that's the word you brought into this meeting today. It's a word from heaven. Release the river. Thank you for the, just say, Lord, thank you for the river of your Spirit. Thank you for the river, Lord, that flows in me today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift your hands. Lord, I pray, Lord, we pray together, Lord, that you'll use every person here today, that river will reach out and win, not the 99 who are together, but the one that went lost, got lost, went astray, doesn't know you yet. Lord, I pray in a new way that you will send us literally by the river of the Spirit, moving and wooing us and directing us, that you'll start moving us to build friendship and relationship with people where the river, not us, the river flowing through us will touch other people's lives. And that people will start being drawn to you, Lord, drawn to you, Lord, drawn to you through our relationship with them. They will see Jesus in us. They'll sense you, Lord, in us. They'll see you in us. Father, today, I give myself for this, Lord. Just say that to the Lord. If you want to pray this prayer about reaching the people that don't know Jesus yet, say, Lord, I'm yours. Say it out loud. Say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. Holy Spirit, use me. I release the river of the Spirit in my life to reach people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just keep engaged with God. And the Lord will use you. I tell you, God's going to use all of us. And he'll make it very easy. He's not going to make it complicated or hard or put you into difficult situations. God is going to make it easy for you. Just start engaging with people right where you are, in your workplace, neighbours, people that he gets you to meet on the way. He's going to make it easy. Just release the river of the Holy Spirit in conversation, in love, in practical ways, and see what God will do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've spoken to us this morning about forgiveness. And Lord, I know it's such an important issue that affects all of our lives at various times. And Lord, I just pray today, Father, that you'll help us to nail this to the cross today. Lord, that we won't allow unforgiveness to fester on in our lives in any way, Lord. Jesus, you died, you were crucified so that I could be forgiven. And so we put those things back where they belong, on the cross with you, Lord. Where they were left there, Lord, and when you died and you went into death. Lord, all our sins were paid for, including the sin of unforgiveness. And Holy Spirit, we pray again today that cause us to release the river. And as we pray, let's say this too. Make a decision today. Lord, I'm going to walk in forgiveness. Just say it out loud. Lord, I'm going to walk in forgiveness in Jesus' name. Just say, I will release the river. I'll release the river of your life. I'll release the river of forgiveness, even your forgiveness, Lord, because I'm going to walk free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm just going to sing that song, Jesus, We Enthrone You. And I just want you to enthrone Jesus afresh in your heart today. He's already enthroned in heaven. He can't be more enthroned than what he already is in glory in heaven, but he needs to be enthroned afresh in our hearts so that that river will flow. So just begin to enthrone as we sing this song of worship. Not ankle deep, not knee deep, not waist deep, but God wants us to be out of our depth in the Holy Spirit. He wants his Spirit to flow in your life, in my life, in us as a church, so that we're over our heads. He's over us. We're out of our depth in God, where the supernatural things happen. That's what God's called you for signs and for wonders, for miracles.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.